You're listening to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM and 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. It is 20 till 11 here on Halloween Day, as it is time for our Valley Talk program. I'm Tyler Hergert, and joining me today is Randy Berquist, the Crookston School Superintendent, for his monthly appearance. And Randy, it's great to see you today.
Great to see be here, Tyler. It's great to see everybody. Cold Halloween we have. It's not as bad as the 1991 blizzard we had back in Halloween, but great day for the students. Hopefully they'll be able to get a lot of candy tonight, not eat too much candy at school to be full of sugar and wild. But yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me again.
And it's nice that it's actually sunny on this Halloween day.
Correct. Yeah.
That'll always put a smile on your face. So we were going to have you on last week, but unfortunately, the school board, they were unable to meet. So let's just briefly talk about how come they weren't able to meet last week.
Yeah, so Tyler, we actually had the meeting all set, ready to go, but we did not have a quorum. We only had three school board members there. And Crookston School Board has six members total. And a quorum would have meant that we needed a majority of school board members there. So three board members were not able to make it for unforeseen circumstances, and three board members were there. So when we don't have a quorum as a school board, we can't have any action items. So the only thing is we sat there and met, but no action was taken. So hence we had the school board meeting last night. We have to give 72 hours of notice. So last week on Tuesday, we said we'll continue with the board agenda from last Monday to last night's meeting. So that's exactly why we did not have a meeting last week.
But you were able to have a meeting last night, and there were a lot of topics that that you guys were able to hit on. So let's go right through it. There was a big one last night regarding the sports, with specifically boys and girls hockey.
Yeah, absolutely. So well, the assistant boys coach asked about getting an, or excuse me, the head boys hockey coach asked about getting an assistant coach because the numbers are projected to be 40 student athletes, 40 hockey players, which is up from 27 last year. So that's a good thing. And so I thought, well, if the boys hockey coach is asking, I thought I would reach out to the girls hockey coach, talk to her. And she said they're expecting projected 37 girls, which is also up from the previous year. So with about 40 student athletes, we already have the head coach and two assistants. So the board graciously approved the request for an assistant boys hockey coach and assistant girls hockey coach. The total cost to the district is going to be $8,000, approximately $4,000 for each coach. And quite honestly, I support that as well. I think it's a good thing that we have more students participating in this case, hockey. But it also, we as a district have to make sure that we provide enough supervision for safety and security of our students and our community. A good example would be, you know, we have sometimes JV goes to Breck Wahpeton to play, and they don't go with the varsity. So having two coaches on the bus as opposed to just one for 20 players just makes me feel more comfortable. We have to watch about liability issues. And again, I've always said safety and security are one of my main priorities, and I think that's a great thing for adding another hockey coach. Now, people are going to say, ah, it's sports this and sports that. But, you know, the bottom line, it's a relatively low cost. It helps with any kind of liability issues, and it's safety and security for our student athletes. I think it's a win-win situation, knowing that we have more students coming out to participate in the sport of hockey.
Yeah, and safety, I mean, that's a high priority of students, regardless if they're student-athlete or, you know, they're just a student. But, you know, in this case, when you have 40 kids and one person trying to look over 20 kids on a team, that's a little too much. So now splitting up for, you know, if you think about it, you know, two coaches for, you know, 20 kids, that's a lot easier.
Yeah, that's a lot easier. And you know something, we all know sometimes students – I never did this, Tyler, but sometimes students make mistakes and they have to learn by their mistakes. But anytime we can help with being preventative, proactive, I should say, rather than reactive, that's a great thing, a win-win situation. So I'm very happy that the school board approved this and we'll go forward. We are actually going to have a posting for this position, internal, meaning that through the school district, and then external, we're going to put it on social media that might already be out there. So if anybody's interested in applying for that position, Nate Labarsky is our activities director. You can surely contact Nate Labarsky, but that will be posted so anybody has an opportunity to apply for that position.
So some big news there for the boys and girls hockey assistant coaches. And again, that position is open. So hopefully a couple of good coaches from around the area are able to step on in and hop into that assistant role.
Absolutely. And I'm excited to be able to go to the events, the hockey games, and watch. And just like every other activity, I think anytime a student can join an extracurricular activity, whether it's hockey, whether it's volleyball, whether it's speech, one-act play, whatever it is, I think that's a great idea for students to join because it helps with their social experiences, and plus it gives them face-to-face interaction with their peers as opposed to sending Snapchat and Instagram and TikTok videos all the time on their phone. So this is a great opportunity for our young people.
And you get to build core memories, too. That'll last with you a lot longer than anything that you could do athletically.
Absolutely. So, great.
So there were there was a lot more to the meeting last night than the addition of the hockey coaches. There were some accepted donations that took place last night.
Yeah, you know, we had $12,000 and over $12,000 in donations for $2,200 from CYSA for for our boys' soccer, $200 from Scott Bueller for boys' soccer, $250 from for our Hall of Fame, and $9,380 for our fine arts request from the Pirate Fine Arts Booster. So I tell you what, I'm honestly saying this out. I don't know if I've been in a community or in a school district where a community and its organizations and businesses donate so much to our school programs and our organizations that we have in our school district. I think it's incredible. And just one meeting, we had over $12,000 in donations. So I can't thank enough the community and the businesses and the organizations that donate so graciously to our student program. So thank you very much to those groups.
It's always great to see a community give back to the kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the kids are our future. I've said that, you know, I'm on the tail end of my career, but someday I'm going to need our young people to step up and help us as we get older and transition into different stages of our lives. So it's great that the community recognizes that the need for our students to go forward.
You mentioned that there was a big chunk of that money that's going to the fine arts program.
Yeah.
So what exactly is that gonna? What exactly does that mean?
Well, so the Pirate Fine Arts Boosters Club is a great organization that raises a lot of money for different things. So if like one of our art teacher, our music teacher, for example, wants to ask for a donation of, I don't know, maybe they're asking for painting supplies, or maybe they're asking for reeds for different musical instruments, something that the school maybe doesn't have enough money for or doesn't allocate in their budget. The Pirate Fine Arts Boosters Club are a very organized group that does a really nice job of supplying the arts, the fine arts groups with different things. So I appreciate that. They do a really nice job. Their meetings are very well organized. I've been to a couple of their meetings, and very nice job. So,
and fine arts, another great way for students to get involved with extracurricular activities. And again, building those core memories and getting those face-to-face interactions rather than what we talked about through social media.
Absolutely, Tyler. I think it's a great, anytime, I don't care what it is, if it's speech, if it's wrestling, anytime a student can partake in an activity after school, I think it's going to help them not only socially, because they'll be working with their peers, but emotionally, probably a good thing for maybe their mental health. They're working with their peers, they're competing against other individuals and other teams and other groups, but it also is working academically, because I think the research out there somewhere says, at least from my experience, that kids are in extracurricular activities, whatever it might be, fine arts, sports, do better academically. And I think the bottom line is that's just another piece of the pie in the life of a young person to join extracurricular activities to help in their overall persona of themselves and help them become lifelong learners and strive in academics and then go to their next stage of their life, whatever that might be after high school.
Yeah, so a great job. Donations again, near $12,000. So that is that's
incredible.
Really, it's spectacular that the community gives that much back. And that's just like you said, that's just in one meeting.
I know.
They're giving all that back. into the kids.
Absolutely. Excited about it. So thank you again to those businesses and organizations and individuals.
And also, there was a couple of staff members that were approved to be added.
Yes, we had. We actually, we only had, we had some paraprofessionals or instructional aides that, that resigned for various reasons. And so we didn't add anything to our budget, but we replaced those individuals. We did add one paraprofessional in the elementary school at Highland to help with some students that have some special needs. We actually hired a custodian as well. We had that position advertised for quite a few months. Finally got somebody in there, so that person will be working in the evenings, helping out in the evenings during, you know, during extracurricular events as well, you know, cleaning up the popcorn and the drinks and everything else that are in the in the gyms. So mm-hmm. that'll be great to help out there as well too. So
yeah, custodians, they are the unsung heroes of every school and every school district. They do so much to make sure that the school is clean, the kids have a great environment and school building to go to every single day. And yeah, the custodians, we see it a lot, you know, covering sports. They are wonderful people, and they do so much. And frankly, they don't get enough credit.
I agree with you, Tyler. Actually, when I student taught many, many years ago, I only learned one thing from my teacher, to be honest with you. When I student taught, this is the one thing I learned from him. He said that most important people in our job are our students. But pretty close to that are the custodians and the secretaries, because the secretaries know everything, and the custodians can or cannot, will or will not clean your room. So I've always tried to, you know, treat custodians and secretaries, administrative assistants, with the utmost respect, because they often get overlooked when we talk about education of our kids, because they do play a crucial role in educating our youth.
They are very valuable to making a school district run very smoothly. So, yeah.
Well, and sorry to interrupt, Tyler, but I also have to put the kitchen staff and the paraprofessionals, instructional aides, and the bus drivers. Everybody, it takes a team to help our students succeed. So
yeah, so having a full team is it's great, because now you're able to operate even more smoothly.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then also the MSHSL Foundation.
Yeah, so the Minnesota State High School League Foundation gives money back to districts. It's not a whole bunch of money. They do that because they charge an arm and a leg, to be honest, for different activities. So, for example, tennis. You know, tennis was just down in the cities. It was $13 per person to come in and watch tennis per day. You didn't buy one day and get the next day free. So athletic events, basketball and football, when they have them in the cities or different places throughout Minnesota, they charge quite a bit. So that's one thing I do like about the Minnesota State High School League. They do give money back to each district, and that money can be used to help offset the cost for any student that wants to join an extracurricular activity but for some reason isn't able to pay for it. Always said, I don't care how much it costs. I don't care who the student is. If the student wants to be in some sort of extracurricular activity, the school district will find a way for that student to participate. Because, again, I personally think extracurricular activities are a crucial key component in the life of a young person.
Couldn't agree more. I think extracurricular activities, they too help the school district run smoothly as a whole. And sometimes you might be a senior, you don't get to interact with like a freshman as often, but now you're in the same group, or you're on the same team, and you're working together for a common goal, whether that be, you know, you're in band and you're playing the same song together and you share the same instrument, or you're on the same, you know, for example, hockey team, and you're trying to make it to state. I think it's extracurricular activities, regardless if they're sports or not, so crucial, again, to a great school district.
Yeah, and when I talk about extracurricular activities, I don't want people to think, oh, all I'm talking about is sports, because I'm not just talking about sports.
Yep.
Extracurricular activities are activities that are involve sports, but they're also fine arts extracurricular activities. So it doesn't matter to me, as long as a person, as long as a student wants to join, we'll make it happen.
And let's also talk about, now that there's snow on the ground, unfortunately, we knew it was coming, but just want to remind everybody about the school closing procedures that are weather related.
Yeah, so here's the deal. Before COVID, the toughest decision a superintendent had to make was whether to close school or not, whether to have an early out, a late start. But here's my philosophy, okay? I would rather take heat for making a bad call because last year, in my experience, I believe the weather people were off on a number of storms. You know, the storm of the century, and then the next day you have a few flakes, you cancel school. But I would rather take heat for making a poor call than taking heat because a student or a staff member or a community member were hurt in an accident or, worst case scenario, died in an accident. Look, I'll take heat for those kind of calls, but I'm always going to try to err on the side of caution. Am I going to always make the right call? No, of course not. But I will try to make a call earlier rather than later, if at all possible. If a storm is coming, say we're on today's Tuesday and there's a storm coming Friday, I, as a superintendent, monitor the situation throughout the week. And I work with the other neighboring superintendents. We talk. We belong to a text group right now. Actually, I was up this morning about 5 o'clock just to monitor the weather. I work with our groundskeeper, our building and grounds bus transportation person. I work with the local law enforcement, Polk County, Crookston PD, just to get their take on it. I'll actually drive around and just check out the roads, because one part of the district might be somewhat okay, whereas another part might not be so okay. But I want to let everybody know that if I, as a superintendent, make a call and you don't feel comfortable sending your child to school, that's fine. You know, don't send your child to school. Call the secretary and say, well, we feel more comfortable keeping our child at home today. That's perfectly fine. So, again, I would rather take heat for making a poor call than take heat for something happening to one of our students. And, Tyler, I can tell you, 16 and 17-year-olds here in Crookston Drive, just like I did, I was obeyed all speed limits, stop signs, and everything else. So, we'll see how things go this winter, but that's kind of where we're at with that.
What all goes into the decision of either keeping school open or closing it down?
Well, I think a big part of it is, we obviously have to look at the weather. In Grand Forks, they have the National Weather Service. So I get emails, I watch reports and everything else. We have a lot of webinars anywhere from 4 to 4:30 in the morning, depending on when the bad storm is supposed to happen. Sometimes it might be 3 in the afternoon. Sometimes they might do a couple webinars. So I make our superintendent group watches those webinars. We communicate with each other. You know, the storms usually come from the west, come towards us. So there's a lot of decisions. The decision is not taken lightly, Tyler, because I know what a pain it is for parents to say, oh, great, school's canceled. Now I got to go send my child to a snow home. I still have to work. You know, it's a pain in the neck for parents to do this. So in my opinion, if I could make the call sooner rather than later, at least to give some time for parents, especially for the younger ones, the younger children, to say, okay, I need to send it over to Aunt Susie's house from 8 to 10 and then go to daycare, whatever it might be. So again, the situation is not taken lightly, the decision. There's a lot of factors that go into it. And I'll be the first to say, have I made mistakes? Absolutely. Am I going to make mistakes on a call? Probably. But decision is not taken lightly. There's a lot of factors that go into making that decision.
And of course, at the genesis of that decision is the safety of the students and the community as a whole.
Absolutely. Safety and security are my number one priority when I talk about making a decision to cancel school, to go late, early out. And also, I will tell you that when the school is canceled, there will be no extracurricular activities. Okay. So if we have a big basketball game scheduled for a Tuesday night and school's canceled all day and 2 o'clock, it gets nice out, there will still be no extracurricular activities. I don't think it's right as a superintendent that we cancel academics and then all of a sudden we say, oh, we canceled school today, but we're going to have that big basketball game. It doesn't sit right with me, so that will not happen.
And how do people get notified whether the school is closed or it stays open?
Yes, we'll have a school messenger alert that will go out, and I will try to make the call, like I said, between 5:30 and 6. A school message alert system will go out if it happens to be that day. If it's an early out, a lot of times early outs, we want to make sure that all kids are fed lunch, because we know that sometimes the lunch is the best meal for many kids during the day. So if we could potentially make a call so that lunch happens first, that's what we'll do. If we have to move lunch up so all kids are served, that's what we'll do as well, too.
Well, Randy, a lot of great things that we covered today. You gave a lot of great topics for us today. And again, it's all about the kids' safety. And I really love that. And I love that the community gives back and puts so much into the kids.
Yeah, absolutely, Tyler. I couldn't ask for a better position right now to be Superintendent Crooks. And so I want to thank the communities, the individuals, the parents for allowing me to work to do what I work with others to do what's best for all students. Thank you.
And hopefully we have that meeting that goes through next month and we'll be able to chat again on time. But hey, if it doesn't happen, that's okay. When is that next meeting, by the way?
It is November, Monday, November 27th at 5 o'clock p.m. So it's a Monday after Thanksgiving. I want to make sure to wish everybody a great deer hunting season and a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully you'll spend time with family and friends.
Well, Randy, thank you very much for joining us on today's Valley Talk.
Thank you so much, Tyler. I appreciate it.
So that was Randy Berquist, the Crookston School Superintendent, with his monthly appearance on our Valley Talk program.